Come on, church. Scripture reading this morning will be coming from Matthew, the seventh chapter, verses 1 through 5. Need time to get it. When y'all have it, say amen. That's Matthew, the seventh chapter, verses 1 through 5. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. I just read Matthew 7, chapter 1 to the 5th verse. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
If you're visiting with us, we at the Church of Christ like to welcome you with open arms. You're truly in a place where you're a stranger only but once. Our hearts desire and pray to God for you to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Members, it's a pleasure to be able to stand in front of you and be able to, you allowed me the time to speak what thus saith the Lord. To be able to sing songs every first day of the week, prayers go up before the throne of God. It's a pleasure to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth, for he seeks such to worship him. You have heard in your reading, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1. Where Jesus said, judge not, that you be not judged. Now, a man in the world, he read this scripture. He said, it's my favorite scripture. Because nobody, I can do what I want to do and no man can judge me. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees because they thought they were super righteous. They put themselves on pedals so high, look down on small man and tell them what this and that, what that to do. When they were full of sin, Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. See, they made these standards so that no man could reach them, not even themselves. Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged. And then he said, for what measure, what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. That bar that you raise, you're going to have to meet that bar. Verse number 3. Why behold it the dust or the speck that's in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam, the tree sticking out of your own eye? Or why did I say that, brother? Let me help get you straight. And you got a beam, a tree out of your eye, inside your eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye. And now this is what I want to underline. Cast the sin out of your eye, that ye may see clearly. Now, if you're a visitor here for the first time, this is the first time experience with the Church of Christ. No, we could teach you the oneness of the church, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 4. We could teach you Christ building one church, Matthew 16, 18. We can teach you Jesus praying to the Father himself. Jesus, let them all be one. But let me ask you a question. How can you see the truth when sin is blocking your view? How can you see the truth when sin is blocking your view? You can't see it. Members, how can you share in the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith, and temperance? How can you abide in those things when sin is blocking your view? If sin is blocking your view, how can you see those things? Listen, before Jesus preached the gospel in Mark chapter 1, verse number 14, you want to know what happened? Before he did that, John the Baptist had to come to convict the world of sin.
Yes, sir.
Because sin was blocking their view. They couldn't see the kingdom. We had to get the sin problem squared away first. See. Now, today I want each and every last one of us, even myself, everybody on the sound of my voice, we're going to take an intrapersonal look within ourselves. We're going to not look to the left, to the right, behind us, or in front of us. We're going to take a look within ourselves this morning. We're going to judge our own heart. We're going to consider our ways, Haggai chapter 1, verse number 7. We're going to examine ourselves, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 28. We're going to examine ourselves whether we be of the faith or not, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. We're going to prove our own works, test our own works, Galatians chapter 6, verse number 4. Look. Paul told Timothy, take heed to thyself first. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16. We're going to tend to our own God, not nobody else's God. Songs of Solomon 1, verse number 3. If you didn't know, I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, so I'm kind of country. So I might say some words. My grandmother in Memphis, Tennessee, she's an old country lady. She's a maid. She cleaned up behind wealthy people. She always had this saying, it stuck with me even to this day. She used to say, sweep around your own front door first before you can sweep around mine. As a matter of fact, that's the title of the sermon. Sweep around your own front door. What we're going to do, we're going to take a personal look within ourselves to make sure that we are squared away before we can look and do anything else. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verse number 1. Pick it up for me, Brother John. Pick it up for me.
And it came to pass, after the years were expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle.
All right, let's stop right there. See, we're talking about David. David was a king. Royal David. Everybody know David. If you're a visitor, everybody know David. Now, David and his captain of his army, his general, Joab. Go ahead and pick up reading.
That David sent Joab, his servant, with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rehoboth, but David tarried still at Jerusalem.
Now, he didn't go and fight. He stayed home in his palace. All right, pick it back up. Get closer to the mic, too, so the lady in the back can hear you.
And it came to pass, can you hear me?
Yeah, good.
And it came to pass in eventide.
In the eventide, that's in the heat of the night.
That David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman was very beautiful to look upon.
Mm.
And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elaine, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers.
He sent messengers to go get that woman. Go ahead.
And took her, and she came in unto him, and he laid with her.
He laid with her. He had relations with her, you know, ungodly relations with her. Go ahead.
For she was purified from her uncleanness.
So she cleaned herself up, and then what?
And she returned unto her house.
Okay.
And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, I am with child.
All right, stop right there. So he took this man's wife. Uriah was out fighting a battle as a soldier. He saw this pretty woman. He looked upon, he the king. Nobody could stop. You know, he could do what he wanted to do, right? So he went and got her. Did what he did with her. She got pregnant. David tried to hide his sin in three ways. Go ahead and read verse number 6. He tried to hide it in three ways. Let's look at him. Go ahead and read verse number 6.
And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite.
Mm-hmm.
And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered.
Being buddy-buddy with him.
And David said unto Uriah, go down to thine house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servant and his lord, and went not down to his house.
So way number one, he's trying to hide his sin. He tells, send Uriah to me. He tells his general Joab, send Uriah to me. I'm going to send Uriah home, early release from his military battle. I'm going to send him home. He can go on with his wife, and they can have relations, and I can cover it up, and then he's going to be the father of the baby. But it didn't work, because in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, Paul says, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that chose him to be a soldier. So he was a good and faithful servant, a good and faithful soldier. He decided, I'm not going home. I'm going to sleep on the ground. So go ahead and read
verse 10.
You can read 10. Go ahead.
And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey, when thou didst thou not go down unto thine house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judea abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife, as thou livest, and as thy soul liveth? I will not do this thing.
He will not do it, because he knew he was a faithful servant. He made a vow before his country, Israel, and before all of the generals, that he would not betray his position as a soldier. So go ahead and read verse number 12.
And David said unto Uriah,
way number two,
tarry today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow.
And when what?
Oh, my fault.
And when
David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. At even he went out to lie on his bed with the servant of his lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab.
You can stop right there. All right. So now the second way he tried to hide his sin, he said, well, look, I can't get him to go down there, so I'm going to get him drunk. And I'm going to send him back home. He's trying to hide his sin now. I'm going to send him home drunk. And I know, you know, him being drunk, he'll go ahead and he'll go in his wife's house and he'll sleep with his wife, and then he'll be the father of the baby. But it didn't work. He went home. I mean, he stayed at the palace and slept on the ground. See, but what David used was wine. See, oh, the devil's nectar. Wine. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1, wine is a mocker. That word, wine, is a mocker. That word mocker in Hebrew is loot, which means it's designed to make a fool out of you. See, a lot of women today are being seduced by wine. It makes a fool out of you. You know, a man, he can go into a club and see a nice lady, first thing you tell her, let me buy you a drink. Why? Oh, I want to get you drunk. Then I get you home, I make a fool out of you. Wine is a mocker. It's designed to make a fool out of you. The scripture said, if you deceive by it, you're not wise. Many men come home drunk, beating on the kids, beating on the wife. I know men right now that are in jail right now doing life sentences because they were drunk. They don't even know what they did. They just know I'm in jail for life. I was drunk, I don't remember. Wine is designed to make a fool out of you. A lot of people say, well, didn't Jesus turn water to wine? Ain't that what happened? See, the wine that Jesus turned into, the water that was used, he used to turn it to wine, it was not fermented. Because if you read John chapter 2, verse number 10, the scripture says, the guy who invited everybody to the feast, he said, why did you say the good wine last and not give them that wine first? What he is saying is, he tastes this wine, the sweetness thereof. He couldn't have been drunk because he wouldn't have been able to discern between which wine. when you're drunk, you're sloppy drunk, you don't know what's good and what's, you know. So at that moment in time, the juice was sweeter than the first one. It wasn't fermented. Another man say, well, didn't Paul tell Timothy, drink a little wine? Now, if you read that, that's in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, he said, drink no longer water. Evidently, he didn't drink wine because he had to instruct him to drink water. Drink no longer water. Drink no longer water, but drink a little wine. Why? For your stomach's sake. Now, have you ever had the bubble guts? I'm pretty sure we all did. You drink water, it don't do nothing. You need some Sprite. You need some ginger ale. He said, no, all they had back, they didn't have it back then. All they had was a little wine. Drink a little bit. Now, this, my son come to me and tell me, hey, Dad, my stomach hurt. I'm not going to go to the liquor store and get a fifth of Henny and give it to him and tell him to drink it for your stomach's sake. That don't make sense. God is not mocked. That don't make sense. I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to go get some rubber tussin or some Pepto-Bismol. I'm going to take the cap off, the little measuring cup, put a tablespoon, say, son, drink a little bit for your stomach's sake. Wine is a marker. If you are deceived by it, you're not wise. He tried to use wine, but he violated Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15, where it said, curse is the man that put the bottle to his man's lips. Now, if you passing the bottle around, you curse as well. Wine is a marker. Look, people looking at me like, he's trying to step on my toes. I'm not trying to step on nobody's toes. I'm aiming for the heart. He tried to use wine. Go ahead and pick up verse number 14. It didn't work. He went home, slept on the ground. Verse number 14.
And it came to pass the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab.
So he wrote a letter to Joab. He said, look, I got to get this thing hid. This is my sin. I got to get it hid. Go ahead.
And sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest.
Set him on the front line. I got to get rid of this man.
Of the hardest battle. And retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die.
So what I want you to do, set him on the front line, bag up. Now this King David now. This is what everybody know. Bag up. Set him on the front line. Go ahead. Keep reading.
And it came to pass when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that violent men were.
He knew where the vicious men were. Go ahead.
And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and they fell some of the people of the servant of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also.
Listen. David sent a letter by the hand of Uriah. He held his own death sentence. Gave it to Joab. Joab put him on the front line, bagged away from him. Not only Uriah died, but also the innocent man that was with him. Yes, sir. See, David tried to hide his sins in three ways. First time, he said, send him home, go on to your wife. Didn't work. Second time, he got him drunk. Go on to your wife. Didn't work, trying to cover up this pregnancy. Put it on him so it make it seem like he the father of the baby. Third time, he said, I'm going to go on here and kill him. Now, let me ask you a question. Are we hiding any sins in our life right now? I remember in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. They went and got some fig leaves and hid themselves and went before God. What fig leaves are we using to hide our sins? Mm-hmm. Some people, they have sex, they get pregnant, and they get married to cover it up. God is not mocked. Some people use condoms and birth control pills. Why? Because if I don't get pregnant, nobody will know. God is not mocked. What fig leaves are we using? What fig leaves are we using to cover up our sins? And then we go before God, just like they did. God said, what is you doing? He ain't looking at the outward appearance. He's looking at the inward. What did you do? What did you do? God is not mocked. I remember when I was in my 20s, I took a job as a janitor. And I was working. The lady, she said, "This your first room. Go ahead and clean it up." So I said, "All right, it's a little small room. I've been cleaning up my whole life. I can do this. Knock it out." So I knocked it out, scrubbed everything down, put some stuff on the floor, some pine saw, smelled real good. She came back in there. She said, "All right, smells good." She looked around. She put the white glove on. She started rubbing the bookshelf full of dust. She went to the windowsill. She rubbed the windowsill. She said, "Listen, I'm not paying you to spot clean. I'm paying you to clean everything." So a lot of us, we claim we're Christians, but we spot clean. See, we don't do no drinking. We don't do no cussing. But inside we're full of dirt. God wants us to clean for real. He wants to be clean, not spot clean.
Yes, sir.
We smelling good. He wants us to be clean for real. I remember in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 26, Jesus said, "You clean the outside of the cup, clean the inside as well." What's inside our cups this morning? Jesus said, "I want you to be a Christian. If you're a man, I want you to be a Christian man, a Christian husband. I want you to be a Christian father. I want you to be a Christian in your car. You can't be running folks off the road, flicking people off. What is in our hearts? What's in our cups? Be a Christian, clean everything in your life." So look, what I did, I said, "Yes, ma'am." You know, so I started cleaning up everything. I started cleaning up the walls. She came back, she started noticing my work. She gave me a raise. Then she gave me all the keys. You know you're a gentleman, you get all the keys. Gave me all the keys. You couldn't tell me nothing, bro. Gave me all the keys. I was the top general on the North Wing. But then I noticed something though, Brother John. I noticed when I went into the break room, people started looking at me funny. People started speaking to me. I'm like, what in the world is going on? So I ain't paid no mind. One day I was mopping my floor, getting ready to leave a night shift. This back in my 20s. Guy that been there for 20 years, Mr. Thomas. He been there 20 years. He was looking at me funny. Mr. Thomas came down my hallway with some muddy boots on purpose. Walking through my hallway, muddy boots on. I ain't paid no mind. Then he started messing with my money. See, I was looking for my time card. He hid my time card. I was 5 minutes early. By the time I found my time card, I'm 20 minutes late. I went into the office. I said, "Ma'am, I quit." She's like, "What you mean you quit?" I said, "Ma'am, I can't take this no more. I can't take it. People trying to set me up." She said, "Listen, sit down." She said, "I see your works. I know your works. I know what you do. I can look at something and tell, yeah, he did that. He cleaned that." She said, "But look, Mr. Thomas is jealous." She said, "I go and look at your stuff. Everything is clean and spotless. I look at his work, trash all over the place." She said, "Look, your work make his work look bad." See, when you let your light so shine, men may see your works, they might cut you down. You let your light so shine, men will try to put dirt on your name. They'll try to cut you down when you letting your light so shine. You didn't do nothing. See, but just like she said, "Montreal, I know your works." Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 to the seven churches of Asia, Church of Ephesus, "I know your works. Church of Smyrna, I know your works. Church of Philadelphia, I know." He said to all the churches, "I know your works." Listen, Jesus know all our works. We can't hide nothing from Jesus. What's in our cups? He said to the church, Laodicea, he said, "I know your works, that you need on fire, neither hot or cold, but you're in the middle. That's the worst." He said, "I'd rather you be on fire for me, or just don't have nothing to do with me, but you're in the middle." He said, "I'll chew you up and spit you out." That's the worst position to be. You know all our works. Jeremiah 16, verse number 17. "Your ways, they're not here for my eyes. Your works ain't here for me." Jeremiah 16:17. I told her, I said, "You know, I'm about to quit. I can't stand this." She said, "They're jealous." Jesus said, "Do not grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not." What's in our cups? Mr. Thomas them had some stuff in their cups. They had envy. Mr. Thomas had jealousy in his cup. What's in our cups? Strife. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 4. Oh, that is sin. James chapter 3, verse number 14. It's sin. Envy, strife, malice, hating one another. It's sin. You got to clean the whole cup. Oh, yeah, I got to mention this. I remember one time my wife was a test of this. I pull up my driveway. I'm coming from a hard day's work. Pull up my driveway. My next door neighbor was in my yard cutting my grass. This is a true story. I'm like, so I'm hot. I got some luscious, some good. I had my grass off the chain. I mean, I'm telling you. He cut my grass. He cut my grass bald head. Bro, he cut it bald head. I said, man, my wife can tell you this is a true story. He was jealous. He was jealous. And I looked at his yard, he hadn't even started on his yet. I'm like, he was jealous. Jealous. That jealous is something else, boy. I had the best grass in the whole area. He was jealous. So you know what I did? I said, man, you need to sweep around your own front door before you sweep around mine. Sweep around your own house, your own front door before you sweep around mine. We talk about it now, it's funny. But what I did, I went and got me some summer grass that spreads. So now we both got good grass. Yes. My grass growing on his side. Sometimes let your light so shine, men may see your good works and they'll glorify God on your behalf. They'll get a little bit of that light themselves. Sometimes you got to share that light. Let your light so shine. Don't quit. All right, let's get back to you. I'm all off subject. Let's get back to the reading. Go to verse number 26. Verse number 26.
And when the wife of Uriah.
So pretty much, let me start right there. He kills the man. Now go ahead and read verse number 26.
When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah's husband was dead, she moaned for her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son.
Stop right there.
So what he did, his plan worked. Killed that man off. First time he tried to get him to go home, get the baby on him, it didn't work. Second time got him drunk to do it. Third time someone killed him. It worked. He went, I thought she got through crying, he went and married. Turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse number 6. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 6.
And Jesse begot David.
This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
And Jesse begot David, the king.
Go ahead.
And David, the king, begot Solomon.
He got Solomon.
Of her that had been the husband. Been the wife of Uriah.
Who been the wife of who?
Uriah.
Listen to me. 1,000 years later,
Book of Matthew was written. That's still not David's wife. David stole that woman. That ain't his wife. God is not mocked. Matthew chapter 19, 4 through 6. I'm not going to mention 9. We better make sure we ain't stealing nobody's wife. God is not mocked.
4 through 6.
No, we're done with that. Okay. Going back to verse number 26.
Thank you, 2 Samuel.
Yep. 2 Samuel, verse number 26. Go ahead and read it.
And when the wife of Uriah had...
Read 27.
And when the morning was past, mm-hmm. David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased
it
the Lord.
It did what?
Displeased the Lord.
Look, he got away with it. No, he didn't. It displeased the Lord. See, when we do things, we thinking we're getting away with it. But it's displeasing the Lord. The thing that he done has displeased the Lord. Now, let's go in chapter 12 real quick. I'm going to read it this time. And the Lord sent Nathan. This is a preacher. This ain't no man. This is God sending his word through another man. So you can't fault the preacher. Now, he sends Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men, tell his parable. There were two men in one city. One of them was rich. The other one was poor. The rich man had a lot of stuff. He was a rich man of seed, many flocking herds. And then he said, The poor man had nothing. He just had one little lamb. When he had brought and nursed up that lamb, and it grew up together with him and with his children, it did eat of his own meat and drunk of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was to him a daughter. And there was a traveler, a visitor came to the rich man. And the rich man, he didn't take of his own flock or his own herb to dress it for the traveler. He took the poor man's lamb, and he dressed the poor man's lamb. And for the man that came unto him. And pick up with that verse number 5.
And David's anger was
David was mad.
Greatly kindled against the man.
He was mad at that man in that story.
And he said to Nathan, as the Lord
liveth, as the Lord liveth,
the man has done this,
what?
Shall surely die.
Listen, we start off with Matthew 7. Judge not that you be not judged. The judgment that you give to other people, you're going to have to reach it. Keep reading. He shall surely die in what?
And he shall restore the land fourfold.
He shall restore it fourfold. Oh, he'll judge, ain't he?
Because he did this thing, and because he had no pity.
He had no pity. Go ahead,
and
keep reading.
Nathan said to David,
and Nathan said, what?
Thou art the man.
You are the man.
Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee.
You can pause right there. He said, you the man. He ain't judging. Oh, he going to have to die. He going to have to pay fourfold. Listen, you the man. And guess what? You got to pay fourfold. Look, if you don't hear nothing else I said today, hear this. Sin has consequences. You got to pay fourfold. Sin has consequences. Go ahead and read chapter 12, verse number 11. Go ahead and read that.
Thus said the Lord, behold,
I will raise evil against you. Go ahead.
Against thee out of thine own house.
I will do what else?
I will take thy wives before thine eyes.
And do what?
And give them unto the neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son.
And what else did the Lord say?
For thou didst in secret.
You did it in secret.
I will do this thing before thee.
You did it in secret, but I'm going to do it so everybody.
Before Israel and
you can't hide nothing from the Lord. See, listen, visitors. How can you see the truth when sin is in your view? First, we got to pluck the sin out. Once you get the sin, that's why John the Baptist came first. Once you get the sin out your heart, we can preach the Church of Christ all day long. But if you got sin in your heart, you're not going to see it. What did it say? You got to pluck the sin out so you can see clearly. Listen, what did it say? Read that again.
Verse 12.
No, just read. He said, you did this thing in secret, but I will do it for everybody to see. You can't hide nothing from the Lord. Listen to me. This baby that he had with Bathsheba, he didn't live. God said he wouldn't allow his king. No, this is supposed to be the genealogy of Jesus Christ. He can't have that in Jesus' genealogy now. Go to chapter 13. That's one fold. You got four folds now. He said you're going to pay for it. He took the first one. He took that. Go to chapter 13.
With verse.
Verse number 1.
And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David.
This is David's other son.
Had a fair sister.
He had a sister.
Whose name was Tamar.
Her name was Tamar.
And Amnon
is David's other son. So you got two sons here. You got Absalom, you got Amnon.
And Amnon loved her.
He loved his own sister. Okay. So he devised a plan because he wanted to have his own sister. Now, go ahead and read verse number... Read verse number 13. Read verse number 11.
And when she had brought them unto him.
Now what happened, he had said, well, listen. He thought his plan, so I'm going to tell my dad and have Tamar come over to the house. I'm going to act like I'm sick. And then I'm going to have her feed me. That was the plan. But really, he had other intentions. Go ahead and read.
And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come, lie with me, my sister.
My sister, lie with me, sleep with me.
And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly.
And go ahead, 13.
And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king.
And he'll make it right. He'll make a way for, you know, do it the right way. Go ahead, drop down the next verse.
14. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her.
He raped his own sister. That's crying shame. Just like his daddy. They say the chip don't fall too far from the block or something like that. Listen, he stole another man's wife. This man stole his own sister's innocence. See, but this things that happen on, this happens in the world. This sin. Listen, if you living in sin, this shouldn't be nothing strange. If you living in sin, this is part of the picture. This is what you do. You shouldn't live any longer in sin. This stuff happen on a daily basis. We need to protect our little sisters. Because this world is full of sin. That's why we have a kingdom like this, so we can watch it and protect them. And I'm going to make sure I do it. This man stole his sister's innocence. See, you got men out here stealing these little girls, making them prostitutes. This is the world of sin we live in. Like, we acting like everything's all good and dandy. Well, this is serious business we're dealing with here. This is sin. I heard you say this morning, if you guilty of one thing, you guilty of all of it. You might as well say you guilty of it too, if you in sin. All right. Go ahead. So what happened in this story, I don't want to hold you long, so I'm trying to get through. Tamar went home, told her brother Absalom. Absalom came, and he murdered Abner for their foolishness. That's twofold. He lost, and then we know in chapter 13, verse number 37, David mourned for his son Abner. Oh, he mourned again, just like he did the first time for the first. That's twofold. So you got two more coming. You pronounce this sentence on yourself, David. You can't get mad at nobody else. Go ahead and read, drop down. Okay, well, let's do this. I don't want to hold you too long. I got a lot here. So Absalom steals the heart. Absalom goes out, he flees, and he goes, because he was, you know, he killed his own brother. He got scared, he fled, and went out somewhere. Joab goes back and get Absalom, bring him back, kind of make him back with, you know, good odds with the king. King forgave him and everything. So in chapter 15, verse number 6, Absalom, he steals the heart of the men in the kingdom. He steals the heart. Men start following after him. So, make a long story short, David loses his kingdom. Threefold. Now, David in the wilderness, he got his Joab and his little bit of soldiers. So he then goes, he said, look, we got to get my kingdom back. So they go and fight. Joab, he's a very strong warrior. He go and he pretty much subdue Absalom and all those people that were fighting against him. Then there was a time when Absalom, he saw that they was about to lose. He got on a horse and he was going through this little area with some trees there. He got caught in the tree. Pick up chapter 18, verse number 10. I skipped the whole portion there just to keep you up on time. 18, verse number 10. So he was in a tree. 18, verse number 10. Go ahead.
And a certain man saw it.
A man saw him hanging out the tree.
And told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him.
You saw the man and you didn't do nothing?
And why didst thou not smite him?
Why you didn't kill him?
There to the ground.
Well, he didn't kill him because David made sure he told everybody. He said, don't kill my son. That's what David said. Go ahead, keep reading.
And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab.
He said, though I shall receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet I will not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charge us, and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man, his son Absalom. Don't touch him. He said, otherwise I shall have wrought falsehood against my own life. For there is no matter here from the king. He would have found out. I would have. He said, and you yourself would have had set yourself against me. Now, read verse number 14.
Then said Joab, I may not tarry with thee.
He said, I'm not going to tarry thus with thee. And what did he do?
And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak.
That's fourfold. Now, listen to me good. He said, I will not tarry thus with thee. Pretty much, if you bring that to today's time, I ain't got time for this. I witnessed your king kill my trusted servant Uriah. I witnessed it. He put a letter in my hand to put him on the front line. I bagged up to kill one of my faithful servants. I ain't got time for this. That man was my friend. We fought on the same battleground. I ain't got time for this. Absalom is an enemy. I ain't got time for this. He took some spears and he stuck them in the heart. See, listen, Joab lost respect for David. See, our loved ones, our mamas, our dad, whoever, our children, if we living in sin and being hypocritical, they'll lose respect for us. I remember one time, it's funny, my son, I was rushing, I was like, we gotta go, son. So I went and used the restroom. I came back out, told Noah, go use the restroom. He came back out. I said, no, I didn't hear no water running. You didn't wash your hands. He said, he walked up to me. He said, Dad, you didn't even wash your hands. I said, you're right, son. I went on and I said, let's wash our hands together. See, look, how can we expect our kids and our children's hands to be clean when our hands ain't clean? How can we expect them to go to school and do good grades and be nice to the teacher when we at home cussing up a dog and doing all kind of foolishness? How can we expect them to go and be good people in the world when we out here sinning and drinking and smoking and doing all this other crazy stuff? How can we expect them to be, we holding a high standard for them, but we do what we want to do. God is not mocked. They will lose respect for us. That's what they'll do, because I used to be one. I used to be a kid. I see them like, look, I won't say nothing, but I was like, you can't tell me nothing. I don't tell them, because I know I get slapped in the mouth, but know what they thinking. You can't be doing what you're doing, telling them to do something else. Sometimes we come to church, holy, 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 singing holy, and go home cussing folks out. Kids notice that stuff. Then they get older, we wonder why they don't want to go to church. We wonder. We wonder why they're like, man, them folks phony. They ain't going up in there. They phony. So our kids can lose respect for us. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 127, verse number 4. Psalms chapter 127,
verse 4.
Verse number 4, read it.
As arrows are in the
hands. As arrows, go ahead.
Of a mighty man.
As arrows in the hands of a mighty man.
So are children.
So are children.
The youth.
Look, as arrows, they're just like your kid. What direction are you shooting your kids in? Huh? You want them to be athlete, LeBron? What direction? You want them to go to college, get the good grades? That's good. What direction are you putting them in, though? We got to shoot them high. You can't shoot for these small little earthly directions. You know, what direction are we shooting our kids in? We got to shoot them in the right direction. And that's the direction of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
What direction are we shooting them in? We want them to be this and be that. That's fine and dandy, but what direction, what's the end destination? Right. What direction, what the arrow gonna end up at? See, look, what we need to do, we need to sweep around our own front door, even before we sweep around our kids' front door. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5:24. And I ain't gonna hold you no longer. I got more, but 1 Timothy chapter 5:24.
5:24,
read.
Some men's sins are open beforehand.
You can see it.
Going before
right there. Some men's sins, you know, we can see it on the day. Just like in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a man who slept with his father's wife. It's wide open. We can see it. Then Paul had said, I delivered him for the destruction of his flesh. He was some church discipline. We can see it. But go ahead. Some men's sins you can see.
Going before to judgment.
Going before the judgment.
And some men's they follow after.
Some men's sins follow after. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. See, you can hide all you want, but after this, the judgment. It's appointed unto a man once to die. After what? After all of the ungodliness going on today. After all of the drunkenness going on today. All of the adulteries and fornication. After this, listen, it used to be my birthday month. Now it's homosexual month. After all of the homosexuality, all that, after this, the judgment. I remember the judgment scene when in Luke chapter 16, the rich man, he closed his eyes. He was good, boy, slept good, but they didn't wake, they didn't open no more. He lifted up his eyes in torment. Said, Lazarus, please send Lazarus to me so that he could dip his finger and put it in on my tongue to cool me from this flame. After this, the judgment. Are you ready for the after this? That's the question. Are you ready for it? Because it's coming. It could come tonight. It could sure come tonight. I hope I'm getting myself together because it could be tonight. Are you ready for the after this? After what? Jesus is going to be doing some sweet. He's going to be sweeping the chaff from the wheat. He's going to be gathering the goat from the sheep. Are you ready for that after this? Well, if you're not in Christ, you're not ready. Luke chapter 15, verse number 8. Christ spoke of a parable of a woman who, she lost some precious silver. She lost some coin. And then she, first thing she did, she got a candle. She lit it. Then she started sweeping. If you're trying to sweep in your life, if you ain't got the light on, how you gonna see? You need the light. If you walk in the light as God is in the light, you got fellowship one with another. You don't have no light on. You gotta walk in the light. What's the light? Well, right. The light, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3, for if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the eyes of them that they may not see, lest the glorious light of what? The gospel shine upon them. Mm-hmm. Being in the gospel, you ain't got the light. You need the light in order to see. Then you can do some sweeping and find what you need, what you're looking for. Listen, if you're not in the light, you ain't got fellowship with God. 1 Peter 3, verse number 12. For the eye of the Lord over the righteous. His ears are open unto the righteous. But his face is against them that do evil. You don't want to be on that side of the fence. His face is against them that do evil. But his eyes over the righteous. So, what you can do today, you can be able to take advantage of this situation and get a part of life. Do a visit. Come on down today. You can walk out of here and be in light. You can be fellowship with God this morning. You got to hear the gospel. See, the gospel, it calls us, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 14. You hear that sound, you got to come on down. Look, you ain't got to be ashamed. I did it. I had to do it. Because I ain't want to be on the other side of the fence where I'm over there lined up with the goats. You come down today, you hear the gospel, but you better take heed how you hear. Luke 8, 18. Chapter 2, they was pricked in the heart. Chapter 4, they were cut. They tried to kill the man. Take heed how you hear. Believe the gospel. But it's the truth. You got to believe in science and all this other stuff they got going on today with flat earth. Believe in the gospel. He'll tell you how he made the world. He said, God made it. That's all you need to know. Believe the gospel. But then you got to be able to repent. So you got to do that before you can get into the kingdom. John the Baptist came and preached repentance. That's important. We got to preach repentance. We got to have sermons like this every once in a while. You got to preach repentance. In order to get into the kingdom. You got to repent. Confess. I remember what Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life, wherewith you are also called and have professed a good profession before many men. Are you able to stand right here and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I believe it. Can you say that? You go to China, you might get killed. You go to Afghanistan and say that, they'll do something to you. But are you bold enough to say it? You'll get eternal life. You can get baptized this morning, right behind that screen, some water back there. Get baptized for the remission of your sins. Why? Because your hands, they dirty. They been doing some things they had no business doing. Your feet, they dirty. You've been walking down the wrong way. Your whole body dirty. You've been doing things you had no business doing. You need to be washed. Baptism also saved, 1 Peter 3:21. Not to put away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Look, you can get baptized and go up out of here, you can sleep good tonight. Good conscience toward God. Did what he told me to do. Is there anybody here today that can take advantage of that? The best thing you can ever do. Give your life to Christ. You can have, you can, it's like you'll be have a spotlight walking with you. You walking in light. Ain't nothing better than that. We urge you, we beg you, we plead with you. Look, you don't want to be on the other side of that fence lined up with the goat. Sweep around your front door this morning. I got a lot more to say, but we're going to leave it right there while together we stand and sing.
I can't.